Hey, we're here. We got you, babe. We're on KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and this is Bureaucracy Now. And I am Jim Burke, and I am substituting for Taylor Clark, who is out of town, having way too much fun out in the wild. And I'm here with my co-host, John Morrow. John, hello.
Sure.
There you are.
Yeah. I'm here. I got you, babe.
You're here now.
Yeah. Hi, Jim.
Hi, John. So John and I were discussing earlier the fact that we're in an unusual situation. Mm. We don't have a guest with us or a guest online on Zoom. Mm. So we're going to try to figure out what to talk about for the next 24 minutes. I'm sure that both of us being the loquacious people that we are, we'll be able to fill in. Now, if you want to join in the conversation, there's two ways you can do that. One is you can just write to dj@kptz.org, dj@kptz.org, and write me a question. And then I'll ask John, or you can ask me a question, and I'll answer as best I can. And then if you go to kptz.org, the actual website, before you press the blue button to donate, because we're still continuing our fundraising drive, you can look up, just look at the search feature, Bureaucracy Now. Go to the Bureaucracy Now page, and you can find a Zoom link. And the Zoom thing is open. John has opened it up, so you could come on the Zoom link, and Lord knows what could happen then, John.
So many things can happen. First though, should we just anticipate some surprise guest, hopefully not a Zoom bomb, but maybe somebody to join us.
Maybe.
Or meanwhile, I could do the regular shtick of what happened at council this week. We can do,
this is good.
I'm sure folks have bent your ear on topics as well.
And before we do that, John, we could also talk about the fact that last week we talked about Roadie Fest.
Yeah.
And here it is. It's happening. Oh, there was a tricycle race yesterday.
There was a tricycle race. I think, you know, I have a particular 8-year-old I know pretty well, and she was very clear why she was not allowed, because she was not under 6 or 6 and under. Because of her age.
And was she disappointed?
No, because she's going to be in the kiddie parade.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm excited about that. And I think
when is
maybe
the kiddie parade?
I believe that is Friday. I'm not going to get the time right, but it's Friday afternoon. There's also the pet parade, which is today.
Oh,
I believe that's at 5:30.
At 5:30 is the pet parade on Lawrence Street.
That's correct.
Yeah. And it's like 2 blocks long, right?
Well, but it's
isn't that the
if
funny,
I recall from last year, and this sounds funny because some of you listening have like, well, you have decades of memory here of pet parades and such.
Yeah, so chime in.
But I recall it took its nice time. It was actually a sight to behold. It wasn't kind of quick and done. It actually there's a variety of pets, let's just say, and it was a lot of fun. I had a good time last year, and undoubtedly this year same. And when I look at the weather, I have to say, when we were on with Rita last week, we just said, gosh, could we possibly get this burst of good weather into Rhodey? And here we are. It's going to be beautiful through Sunday, which is, you know, Rhodey goes through Sunday.
And don't read the Washington Post about all this or some other national newspaper outlets, because they will tell you that this heat wave we're experiencing and the fires in Alberta, et cetera, are the beginning of a horrible trend.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can talk about that for 24 minutes. I don't disagree. I think that, that there are some pretty bad
signs. Don't
be
alarmed, but we have summer now in May here.
Yes, and the haze you see is indeed burnt, incinerated pieces of wood from Canada.
Is it really?
Yeah. The haze is an Alberta and British Columbia fire.
And it's pushing down from the north.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's May. I mean, it's not cool in September either, but it's alarming. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we could talk about climate change and what the city's doing there. We can talk about, we covered everything from poop to building code to streets council this week.
Yeah.
So, you know,
what did you talk about vis-a-vis poop?
I just wanted you to say that on the air. it's actually literally an emergency situation. It was December last year that we had a sort of a geyser of poo, and I'm pardon the crassness here.
It's down on Water Street.
Yeah. Because the pipe, after years of use and actually years of, I believe it's hydrogen sulfide that kind of erodes the top of the pipe, and especially near the pump station, and the pipe just failed. And that's what happens when pipes fail. Not a good scene.
And there was also, was that around the same time as that incredibly high surge?
Yeah. It was, we had a pretty...
Undermined that area.
Mega sort of, well, not mega, but pretty significant storm surge. We had a, you know, king tide. There's a lot going on at the same time. But what I love, and actually City Council reflected on this on Monday, I was really appreciative. They said, you know, instead of like, oh, let's go fix that problem and then wait to the next one, the team said, okay, if we're seeing pipes sort of melt from the top because of the hydrogen sulfide issue, what does that mean elsewhere? And let's get a beat on that as fast as we can. So mm-hmm. we went out and we put a camera through a good section of the downtown pipe, sewer pipe. Some of it we couldn't see because it was in such poor condition we couldn't actually run the camera through.
Oh no!
And so it gave us a sense that we've got a situation with sewer lines that we need a solution for. And so on Monday at council we kind of started breaking the bad news. And you know, it's a mixed bag because obviously these are not cheap solutions. But there's a multiple set of ways we can go about this. And what I really appreciate about Bliss Morris and Steve King and those who are in attendance and our consultant on this, because we need a technical consultant on how to do this, and is there are different approaches we can take that are savvy, that don't disrupt, say, traffic and trench the entire line, for mm-hmm. instance, and actually some state assistance that we can go for to drive down the cost mm-hmm. and to make it something that both logistically is easier to insert. We could actually kind of slip line some of the small sections. We could actually drag a pipe in and inside the existing pipe that, you know, maybe 20 years ago, you couldn't do the same way we can now, but we can do that, and that'll drive the cost down considerably. So, team's on it. We don't want to see another one of those December incidences happen.
Right.
And this is how you prevent it. You actually do maintenance on your infrastructure.
And of course, if you do have to do the trenching under streets, you can make the streets nice and pretty when you're done.
Well, you know, that came up too, is like, hey, if you're going to go down there. And Steve King had a great response. It's like, yeah, of course, every time we think about the increasingly thinking about the paving cycle of our major roads and how if we're going to be doing a paving, we better make sure the infrastructure underneath is good for 20 or 30 years, because that'll probably be the next time we come back and pave it. So we do think about those things at the same time.
Yes.
So that's the poop story. And, you know, it's one of those, it's just like water. It's you know, we
it's an
those
essential
pipes,
part of the infrastructure of this city.
And I think there's a lesson there of, you know, you can't neglect them forever because then they'll blow up. So we need to actually do something about it. And to shift to the clean water side, I mean, that's why we in 2020, 2021 worked so hard with the Port Townsend Paper Corporation to think through what investment in that line looks like. And that's why we have a capital fund that is increasing in size by about $4 million a year, with the majority of the contribution being from the mill to make sure that we can rebuild that water line when we need to.
That is good. And last week on County Connections, which I didn't mention on Monday when I was talking about the news. That's another new hat that I'm wearing.
Love it.
I'm the host of County Connections on Fridays at 12:30. We were talking about the Port Hadlock sewer and the build out of that that's going to be happening over the next few years. And they were talking about one of the things I asked is like, what happens if you add things to that sewer in the outlying areas when you start to connect up more stuff? And Bob said, well, we have ways of, when we start it, we're going to have like parallel pipes. Mm-hmm. It's a pressurized system. It has the grinders, the lifts and the grinders and the pumps and grinds.
Yeah.
And he says, so they're pressure pipes. So we're going to have some in parallel.
Yeah.
So in the future, or if something goes wrong, we can switch to a different line, or we can have two lines going in parallel.
That's clever.
Yeah.
There's a metaphor there, I think.
Right? Yeah. Right? It's good to have a bypass sometimes.
That's right. And I think for those at home kind of sort of tallying up every penny here and saying, oh, goodness, how do we do this? I'm with you. And that's something we do daily. One of the kind of positive stories from this, for both Hadlock as well as the sewer infrastructure we're going to need at Evans Vista mm-hmm. is we've been really savvy, and so has the county, yeah. been really savvy about attracting state and federal resources.
For the lift station.
Yeah, I mean, that's all. I mean, we do pay into the federal and state tax system, I understand, yeah. But we want return on that. And so when we take a project like Evans Vista, which, you know, right now has almost $6 million of outside funding. Mm-hmm. It means that we don't have to generate that locally from our limited tax base. And then, and the same thing goes for other projects. We're going to be breaking ground. You know, we have a target to break ground on Discovery Road in September and October this year.
Right.
And
right.
yeah, that's going to be a big overhaul of that road. Right. You know, it's half a mile and it's going to get, you know, a pedestrian path and on both sides, a bike, cycle track, on one side. And a total rebuild of the road itself,
yeah.
You know, that doesn't come cheap. But if you look at the funding sources, you know, we've got state money, we've got federal money. We've really been savvy at making sure we don't have to pay for it ourselves, because frankly, we can't.
It's fantastic. I hate to say this, John.
Please.
But since segue. I live near the other section of Discovery Road between 19th and San Juan.
Yeah.
It's already, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. it was a lot smoother. Now mm-hmm. it's becoming a washboard.
Yep. Yep.
Any plans to even just do a scrape and top coat on that?
Yes. Anything? So I love talking about streets, and I think maybe we should another do another one of these with Steve King.
Yeah,
You know, because I think this is coming increasingly to a head of a decision point for council. Right. You know, we've committed to at least taking options uh-huh. to council about, hey, do we want to keep doing what we're doing with streets, which if I've never heard anybody, well, I've had a few people compliment us on our current approach, but not very many.
Yeah.
Like, let's just let them go. It's good traffic comment. Yeah, you know, I get it.
No.
I've heard a lot of like, at least maintain what you got, which, you know, actually does cost money to maintain what we have. And I've heard a lot of comments saying we actually need to invest in especially in our local roads, because those are the roads we can't get state or federal. We're just not competitive for funding.
Right.
And it's going to need to be generated locally if we're going to make those improvements.
Well, the interesting thing about that section of Discovery Road that I'm talking mm-hmm. about is that I hear trucks go by there all day long.
Yeah.
And the more that the trucks go by, mm-hmm. the more washboardy they get, because they have the big tires, they have the weight. Mm. So once the cycle starts, it just continues. Yeah. And it's not
happens
even
fast.
It's not even the most potholed street
in
the city.
Yeah.
But it will be, in the next 2 years.
This is not a solution, let me just be clear. But one thing you can do if you say, gosh, I'm really tired of that pothole, is you can go to our city website. Mm-hmm. And you
cityofpg.us.
That's correct. Thank you.
Sure.
URL wizard. And then at the bottom, there's a button that says report a concern.
Report a concern.
And that's the best way to say, I am so tired of this pothole. Can you please do something about it? And that comes in. And of course, we don't run right away to that one. We try to batch them in different parts of the neighborhood.
Right.
But we have a little bit more equipment now to deal with making a hot patch repair instead of a cold patch repair that'll last longer.
I've seen evidence, John.
Last forever.
No, I've seen evidence.
You need to rebuild the road. And like Discovery, we were just talking about the project. You could see on Discovery Road that the section we are going to rebuild, you could sort of see it start as little water cracks and it just gets worse. And then all of a sudden it accelerates and it happens really, really fast. And, you know, no amount of pothole repair equipment can actually deal with a complete overhaul of a street.
Right.
But if you have spot improvements to make, we will come out and make those improvements. So please go to our website, cityofpt.us. Mm-hmm. And you can click on report a concern, whether it's a pothole or another issue related to the water system. We'll come and fix it.
I also see them putting in zebra stripes in new, crosswalks around town right now.
Yeah, we're striping.
Now, I'm questioning. I wonder. I've been making up stories in my own head, John.
Well, let me confirm them.
So along Discovery Road, there's a long sidewalk there on one side, on the cemetery side of that section of Discovery Road.
Yeah.
And
it does end.
Yeah, and it's got wonderful, ramps that go into Discovery Road, which ostensibly are crosswalks, but there's no striping there. Mm-hmm. And then they sort of, on the other side of the street, there's no sidewalk and there's no ramp. There's just like street. So the question is there no, and you probably won't be able to answer this in your...
I love that setup.
You're making that...
You probably don't know this.
You probably don't know this, John. He's making the squinty eyes at me like, Jim. But it seems to me that putting in a stripe there would be good because you got kids going to mm-hmm. and from like three schools in the area. And people walk around yeah. the neighborhood and then they cross Discovery Road to go higher up towards Hastings mm-hmm. and all that. But maybe there's rules. I mean, maybe you can't put a stripe in where there's where it just ends on another street.
Yeah, well, I mean, all you'd have to do is go to Lawrence and see stripes that go from, like, no curb cut with a sidewalk that if you were, say, in a wheelchair, you would not be able to navigate. You literally cross to the other side and realize you can't get up the sidewalk because it's too steep. Right. So we've got a lot of problems like that. I think, you know, to your point about, you know, there's a lot of analysis that goes into intersections. Yes. And, you know, like one size does not fit all.
I know.
And so that's why without going out on site, I mean, I do bike, drive, walk, and run that section of street pretty often. I know it pretty well. I know that in that area, we have some highway safety improvement funding money coming in to make some improvements, safety improvements. So I'd say the easiest answer is stay tuned. The best answer is probably I can get back to you with what specifically can be done there.
Yeah, sure.
But I think the thing, what you're seeing around right now, is actually us trying to hustle a little bit on our striping contract because when we paint, it costs money. And when we hire the big machines and the people to come and do it.
Right.
And we were trying to drive that contract cost down last year. So we ended up saying, you know what, we'll do as much as we can in-house. And that's why, you know, you see my team out there laying down stripes across crosswalks and on streets. The other thing that we've had come to council just this week was the edge lane road concept, which I know we have some big fans and maybe some not so big fans.
Yep.
I did want to point out that last week we did, you know, the team did this great kind of let's just meet on the street and talk. And we did it in two locations and we had probably a total of 25 to 30 community members come out and stand with us on the side of the street and to talk about edge lane roads, the rationale. We had a couple light bulbs go off on why are we doing this? A couple people saying, gosh, we need to do this everywhere. I mean, it was just really good engagement around a strategy that did come to council on Monday. And, you know, they're supportive of I'd say a relatively new approach, at least in this part of the country, around how to traffic calm, how to deal with bike and ped, you know, movements, and how to actually achieve safety outcomes. And that's what the data show is that we actually get safer streets if we do them in the right streets that have a certain, you know, a certain frequency of vehicle movement. Can't do that on the main roads as well.
Right.
And that seems to be a win. And again, it saves a bit of money. We don't actually have to put a physical improvement there except for paint. And it does actually make a difference.
What is the name of the street that the farmer's market is on?
Well, it's on Lawrence.
And
it kind of FTs into, oh gosh, it's... See? Yeah, exactly. I don't want to commit to Taylor or Tyler because I get those wrong.
Right. Well, it's either Taylor or Tyler. Yeah. But the thing is where that goes down towards F and bends.
Mm-hmm.
So I come the other way and I turn and then I just turn off of that and I go parallel to Lawrence down to, is it Quincy that goes down to the Maritime Center? Or is that Monroe?
Monroe.
Some president.
Yeah.
And so I've been going on that edge lane street.
Oh,
and
yeah. So on Blaine, is that what you're talking
Blaine.
About?
Blaine. Yeah, it's great, actually. Mm-hmm. I like it because, you know, sure, there's oncoming traffic sometimes. Mm-hmm. I move over.
Yeah.
There's people walking their dogs. I move over the other side.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people, I think it makes people just more aware as I'm going down a residential street right now. Maybe I should be going 20 miles an hour instead of 25. Yeah. And you know, somebody might be walking their dog or somebody might be riding their bike or just walking.
Yeah.
And if I'm going slower, I'm less likely to hit them.
Yeah.
And I think they appreciate that. They wave.
Yeah. So I do want to shout out to all those who are skeptical of change like that and say, we understand. It's not straightforward to, wait a minute, where'd the striping go and where'd the lanes go? And, you know, it's counterintuitive to decades of, you know, highway safety engineering, you know, in the 50s, it was clear everything out of the way, stripe it like hell, if
yeah.
I can say that.
And
make sure, hell. And that's how we make people safe. But the fact is,
we're getting a lot of calls, John.
Is it from the FCC?
No.
You know, the fact is people go quickly, you know, even if the speed, like I'll use 19th as an example, you know, you should be going 25 on 19th.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do 25 on 35.
Yeah.
Oh, and actually more.
Yeah.
Because it's...
It's a big, long hill,
it's
John.
It's straight. You can see what's in front of you. There's nothing on the side. Yep. It's human nature to make your own calculation on whether you're safe or not, whether it meets the rule
or
not.
I mean, it's true. There's a lot more room around it than because people that fall sense.
So we need to help. I mean, this is where the change comes in. You know, we need to help people understand that it. You know, our streets, I think what we as a community seem to value is we don't mind the occasional pedestrian out there. In fact, we might even want to be one of them.
Well, if there's no sidewalk, it's a good thing. The other thing is, you know, I've watched a lot of shows like English shows where they have things in Scotland where they have roads out in the middle of nowhere, you know, and in Australia too, they have these roads out in the middle of nowhere and they're single lane roads.
Yeah.
And they have pullouts every mile or every half a mile. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and people work them. They work their way around that. They just get used to a new habit of driving.
It's true.
Where they're sharing the road if there's oncoming traffic. Oh, I'm going to pull into this pullout, and they're going to go by, and then I'm going to pull out again.
I mean, I hate to be kind of tacky about it, but I almost feel like it's a metaphor for how we need to occasionally keep our own needs a little bit in check and say, how do we share? You know, not everyone's going to get their own private road everywhere they want to go. So how do we keep each other safe, look after each other, get where we need to go? I mean, we need to, it can't be, you know, a complete, you know, disaster to get from A to B. But we need to look out for each other. And I think that's part of what Edge Lane Roads do is like, look, we're in this together. If you're coming at me fast, you got to slow down. And if I'm walking my dog, you kind of got to give me some space. That's actually how we exist together in this lovely town.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and the thing is, when I came here a few years ago from Seattle.
I've heard of it.
It was, and the thing is, and then COVID came and I avoided it like the plague. Mm. And now occasionally I go back, but it's madness down there compared to here. Mm-hmm. Now, people say, oh, how can I go 25? And it's like 10 minutes. Do you have 10 minutes to get from point A to point B? Because really, I can get from North Beach to downtown. I can get from downtown to the Hilltop Tavern, either any one of that triangle, I can cover that in any direction in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
At 25 miles an hour
and
30 on Sims Way. Wow. Mm-hmm. It's really not hard. And it just like, you know, I used to have a standard shift. I used to have a Volkswagen and it drove me crazy to go between 25 and 30 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, an automatic transmission.
Sometimes getting there is half the fun, right?
30, whatever it needs, I'm going.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of trying to be intentional about, you know, each step trying to get somewhere. You know, it's not thinking about where you're going to arrive. It's, where, I mean, not to get too zen here, but it's where you're at, you know?
That's
and
right.
And as I ride my bike here, it was just a joyous way to, like, look around, take a breath of fresh air, think about this lovely engagement with you. And, you know, just kind
did
of
you ride
enjoy.
It?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, super.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. So I feel like, if we're all in that mindset, put the windows down. If you're driving somewhere, put the windows down, look around, take your time. You'll get there.
Hey, you know what? Nobody's written to us, John.
Okay, well.
And nobody's coming under our Zoom call.
Must
DJ at kpgz.org. Everybody's outside having a great time with the weather. And we're almost out of time, John.
Okay, well, I guess maybe, can I make a call to action?
Yes, please. I mean, I'm not allowed to, but you can.
Email Jim. No. go to his show, which I, yeah, is it?
Yeah, all in the timing is the show I'm in.
I just luckily that reminded me that I'm going this evening, so that's good for me
to
remember
to the
that.
Show
kind of forgot.
So then you're gonna know why the nail polish.
It's lovely. If everybody could see Jim's red nail polish, it's very loud and proud, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
The call to action was simply going to be go out and enjoy Roadie Fest. And to the team that work for the city to make this happen, you know, I salute the hard work that you've done to try to help arrange. And to those volunteers that Rita spoke to yesterday that make the magic happen, my goodness, this is part of why this place is amazing, is that we have a Roadie Fest. Name me other towns or even other towns this cool that have a roadie fest.
Right.
Not too many. So have fun, get out there, talk with each other, enjoy the lovely weather, and we'll see you next week.
That's a perfectly fine, civic-minded call to action, John.
There's well, I'm going
to
be out
controversial
there.
About
no,
that.
No, no. Let's
While
go
you're
and talk.
At it, why yeah. don't you say... Why don't you wish KPTZ a happy 12th
happy
birthday?
Happy 12th. Well, you're 12 and changed now.
You happy know? 12th birthday, KPTZ. It's really simple. Just say that.
Happy 12th birthday, KPTZ.
Thank you, John.
Most welcome.
That's fantastic. Well, John Morrow, my co-host, and I are going to sign off now. I'm going to play a little something by Daniel Ratliff and the Night Sweats. Yeah.